This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, good morning. It's going to rain later and
cloudy
almost every day for the next like 5 days. That's fine.
Bit of a washout.
We're not yet at the time of year where it rains and we can all look and say, like, we needed this rain. We're still at the time of the year where we say we definitely do not need more rain.
We need the sun.
More sun. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Thursday. May 1st. Derby week. May 1st.
May's a great month.
Great. Is it it's a great month?
Cinco de Mayo and all the playoffs and the weather is finally... The weather gets a little more consistent.
How many great months are there? I'll decide if May's a great month when you tell me how many great months there are.
October?
No. The number. Give me a number. How many are great? There are only 12. How many get to be considered great?
Four.
Four. October? Four. June?
Okay.
September?
Sure.
I got one more.
I think May might be next.
I mean, I might want to go July.
It's a little warm.
Yeah.
It's a little warm in July.
8030550. We're learning about Elijah Moore.
When's Memorial Day?
May.
Yeah.
It's always
May.
In May.
May's number four.
Yeah. Elijah Moore. New Bills receiver Elijah Moore. We're going to get to John Butchko, Locked On Jets, on Elijah Moore. We talked to a Browns guy about Moore. He had a quick stop there. Now he's coming here to Buffalo. But he was drafted by the Jets not long ago. John, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. So what happened with Elijah Moore? There must have been a lot of hope. An early pick of the second round. And it just never really came to work there in New York.
There was a lot of hope. When the Jets picked him, they spent a lot of time hyping him up. I remember that first training camp. They talked about how he was turning heads, and it really did not work in any way. He struggled to stay healthy. When he was healthy, he did not produce in a big way. There were also issues with the way he related to the coaching staff. I mean, there was in 2022, the Jets got off to a pretty hot start, and that's something that's not been common in recent Jets history. They started 5-2. They were on a 4-game winning streak, and in the middle of that winning streak, there was a game where the Jets won in Green Bay, but Moore spoke out. He was frustrated that he wasn't getting targets, and later that week, there was an incident at practice where he was sent home and deactivated for the next game, and these were kind of like the first signs that he was not long for the Jets. They drafted him early in the second round in 2021, and after 2 years, they sent him off to Cleveland for a day 2 pick swap. So, I mean, I think that speaks to how poorly things went during his career in New York.
Is that a period where everything's going poorly in New York? Because I feel like one thing Bills fans might be counting on is, you know, here things generally go well and the offensive game goes well. And to come from Cleveland and the Jets, whether he did everything right or did everything wrong, I guess I would ask, was the ecosystem in place to succeed?
Well, you know, Garrett Wilson put up 1,000 yards in the same year where Moore really struggled. So it was a difficult situation. Obviously, you know, Zach Wilson did not pan out for the Jets. There were lots of issues with the team, but it's tough for me to say the situation was a problem when there was another young receiver who thrived in that exact same situation.
John with us on the Wester Hotline on Elijah Moore. In terms of the type of player, and I guess how much on the field was the letdown? A lot about off field and things that happen and the role. And it's tough, I know, right, to separate it from the quarterback situation. But how much of a letdown was he when he was actually on the field and running routes?
It was disappointing. You know, like I said, the Jets really hyped him up as a budding star. The thing about Moore is that, you know, he's kind of undersized. So you make up for that with speed. He's fast, but I think like the way the Jets portrayed him as he was going to be like the next Deshaun Jackson, where his size just wouldn't matter because he was just that fast. It's not that he's slow. Like he's a fast receiver, but he's, you know, I don't think he has like the type of speed that like helps you overcome it to a large extent. I think that, you know, he's okay. He's an okay route runner. He's not a particularly dynamic route runner. The interesting thing about him is that with his size, there was a lot of talk that the Jets should play him in the slot exclusively, but he actually was more productive on the outside, at least during his time in New York. So, I mean, he's okay. I mean, I'm not saying he was a complete zero, but he was kind of like a supporting card. He was more like a guy who produced like a number three receiver than like the number one receiver the Jets kind of were hoping he would be.
When it comes to the Jets, the rest of it, you know, we're talking about Elijah Moore a little bit, but how about the draft they just had? Is it going over well? And as they start to try and turn things to the future, the Aaron Rodgers era, of course, is over. So what's the identity of the new look Jets as they begin the Aaron Glenn era?
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The first round picks being very well received, that was Armand Membu out of Missouri, and he was kind of the last piece that they needed on the offensive line. The Jets entered this offseason with really four of their five offensive line slots settled, which is unusual if you follow the Jets over the last decade, because the offensive line's usually been a mess, and typically they head into an offseason, they need to replace like three of the five players. This year, right tackle was really the only question. They lost Morgan Moses to New England in free agency. I think getting Membo really solidifies that line. And now you have five offensive linemen, four of whom are still on their rookie contract, four of whom were either first or second round draft picks. So the line's looking good. The real question right now, the real issue is with the skill group. Justin Fields is a giant question mark at quarterback. At receiver, you have Garrett Wilson, and then really not a whole lot else. You have decent young backfield with Breece Hall, Isaiah Davis, and Braylon Allen. So, you know, the offense, I think, is partially built. I think the offensive line is now complete based on the draft the Jets had. The defense has some talent, too. I think the real question with the Jets right now is the skill group.
On the running back backfield, we're having a little bit of this right now because James Cook is tweeting about $15 million a year and he wants to be paid like one of the top running backs in the league. Is there any of that in New York? Because Breece Hall would obviously be going into the final year. Contract-wise, whether they'll pay him, just play out the year, I couldn't imagine trade would be a thought right now, but where are they at on Hall?
It's very wait and see right now. At this point, it seems like they may wait to play out the year. There really has not been much contract talk about Breece Hall. There are a couple of the other players that were drafted the same year as him. There have been rumblings about Sauce Gardner or Garrett Wilson getting a new deal. But with Hall, it's really been pretty quiet. Really, the only rumblings about him were theoretically if the Jets had drafted Ashton Jeanty in the first round, there was talk maybe that situation they would look to deal him, but it's actually been kind of quiet, and I expect that to change after the draft. There hasn't been much buzz about what Hall's looking for, so I'm interested to see that myself.
John Butchko, Locked On Jets. John, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
All right. On the Jets and on Elijah Moore and why it didn't work there. Who's the player that it didn't work here, and we would say that wasn't good, and then he went on and had success in the last 8 years? You wouldn't say Wyatt Teller for that. Wyatt Teller never really got on the field. It's not like, oh, it was a problem.
Hmm.
This would be like if Kyer Elam had some success, right?
Right.
Elam is taken late first and Elijah Moore is taken early second.
It's like the difference like six picks.
Yeah, so this might be somebody calls and asks about Elam. You might say, we saw some flashes and there might be an indication, but it really never worked. He was never on the field. They never trusted him.
Yep.
So good luck. We saw a little bit of what he could do. Is that the only name? Is it Elam? And that's it?
Right, he hasn't done it yet. I guess that would kind of be... Has Zach Moss had a better career since he's left?
He's been fine.
He's gotten starting jobs.
Yeah.
Right? He wasn't terrible when he was here, but he definitely wasn't... I mean, wouldn't anybody say he was good while he was here?
He was fine.
So that doesn't really qualify for this.
All right, 803-0550.
There might not be a great answer to it. Tremaine Edmonds has been kind of the same.
Yeah.
Hasn't he? Elam would be it. If Elam goes to Dallas and he is even, what's the bar? If he's just a starter.
A starting corner
in the league. That's
who
it.
PFF grades as fine.
Yeah.
He was not that here.
See, the thing, though...
Well, PFF graded him his fine here, I should say. Never mind.
No, they did. They liked, there were a lot of numbers that pointed to him. It wasn't that bad when he was on the field, except for that last game, and like two others. But the thing about if he does work in Dallas, I've pointed to them actually for a couple of years. Remember when Dan Quinn is their defensive coordinator, that team wants their corners to be so boom or bust. Think of Trayvon Diggs and... Deron Bland, these guys who have all these interceptions and all these pick sixes. Elam, he'll be one of these guys where even if he goes to Dallas and he starts making plays, it's going to be boom or bust. There are going to be advanced numbers that probably show, well, he's getting beat over the top a lot. So, yes, he's got five interceptions on the year, but how good is he? So, I feel like that's the best case scenario for Elam. But if he does that, then he would be an example of this, that they got more out of him than the Bills did.
803-0550. We owe you Worst Call Wednesday, pick of the week. Jerry Ostrowski on the Bills draft and the linemen they pick. What do you think of those guys? Coming up at the top of the hour. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.